We're starting a new series this week called His Story. I don't know if you've thought about it, but how do stories usually start? We're going to be talking about God's unfolding story of redemption. Some stories start with once upon a time, and then they go from there. Some stories start with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And Brian gave us a good introduction to that this morning. Thank you, Brian, for that video. I really appreciate that. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, a story sets the scene, and the introductory words set the scene for what you're about to read. They give you the emphasis of what's going to happen. His story, God's story, is history. His story is history. But it's not like any history book that you've ever read, because his story doesn't focus on a specific area. His story doesn't focus on a specific time frame even. His story goes from beginning to end. So how would you start a story like that? That's going to be about more than just a short little time period. How would you start a story that's bigger than that? You start a story like that by saying, in the beginning. But we know that in the beginning wasn't the beginning, but it was the beginning of God's creation. So in Genesis 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning, God created. I want you to watch this short video, if you would, please. It says it's frozen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and birds that may fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of heaven. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after its kind, livestock and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
In the beginning, God created. God created. If there's ever a chapter in the Bible that makes you feel small, that makes you feel finite, that makes you feel limited, it's Genesis chapter 1 and 2, because God does so much in 6 days. And then we're told in day 7 that God rested. We read that the first thing God created is light. That God created light. Just a little side note, it wasn't until later on that God created the stars and the sun to shine. God created light. And in creating light, he also created time. So he created a period of time, because it says in that verse, it says, and there was evening and morning the first day. So God created light and God created time. I can imagine the angels standing around during creation, and, you know, it's kind of a water cooler moment. You know, you have those where you're kind of to talking to somebody, and one of the angels is like, oh, so what'd you do today? And the angel's like, well, I worshiped God. And the angel's, well, what did God do today? And the other angel says, well, he created light, and he created time. And they just stand there in awe of what God has done, because God created light. Nothing we will ever be able to do as humanity will be able to compare to what God can do in a single day. Nothing we will ever be able to do as humanity will be able to compare to what God can do in a single day. God created days. God created time. God created light. The Bible tells us that he didn't stop at light. It says that he continued to create, and he created space. Space and gaps in space, and where things are supposed to be located, he placed them, the water and the heavens and the dry land and the vegetation. He created plants, and then he creates the sun and the moon and the stars. He creates the fish and the birds, all the living creatures, and then at the summit of creation, he creates humanity, the Bible tells us. In Psalms 19, verse 1, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. We're talking about creation this morning and what God has done in creation. And no matter how much you read through the first two chapters of your Bible or stood outside and gazed at the beauty, we had some families that went to go see the Grand Canyon, and no matter how much you stood there and stared at the Grand Canyon, you would realize, I think you would realize eventually there is a God. If you read through the first two chapters, you would realize there's a God, but you wouldn't know everything there is to know about God. You would just know there is a God. Paul, in the book of Romans, tells us this. Creation reveals God. That's your first note. Creation reveals God. Paul in the book of Romans tells us this. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Paul says that we can see things in creation that reveal God because creation reveals God. He says we can see God's eternal power. We can see that God has power that has gone on from beginning to end. And his power is the same. He created the largest galaxy to the smallest atom. And God still has that same power today that he had back then to create the universe. To create the big things all the way down to the small things. The Bible also tells us that creation reveals God's divine nature. That he's not the same as us. I go to Isaiah 55 a lot when I'm talking about this. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts, for God's thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are our ways his ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts." There are some religions that say that we are gods. I'm here to tell you that we're not gods. There's only one God. But the Bible reveals who God is. Just in the first two chapters, it reveals that God is eternal and God is divine. Reading about and seeing God's creation should cause us to worship who God is. We should be able to sit and say, "Wow, look at what God has done." You wake up in the morning and you see a beautiful sunrise. Or you stay up and you look at the beautiful sunset that happens. You say, "Wow." You see the animals. You go, "Wow." You find out some of the details of how God designed our bodies to function. And sometimes those details fail. And our bodies are slowly decaying and they don't operate the way they're supposed to anymore. But you find out some of those details about our hearing, about our speech, about the fact that we have a conscience, something that is unique, that each of us is unique, that a fingerprint, that my fingerprint's not the same as Jack's fingerprint or Mike's fingerprint or Garrett's fingerprint or Tom's fingerprint or Jeremy's fingerprint. Like, we all have unique fingerprints. The Bible tells us that God knows how many hairs are on your head, and mine are getting smaller. It says he knows how many pebbles of sand are on the seashore. God is not us, and we need to worship him for who he is. We need to worship him for what he has done. Creation points us to God. Creation points us to God. It helps us to realize that God is the creator. Now, there are lots of people out there that would say there was no creation, that there was no 6 days, that there was just a poof, and then stuff existed. The word for God created there means that God took nothing and he made something. A lot of these theories, evolution, the Big Bang, and others that are out there are coming from things. This happened, then this happened, then bang. Evolution, there was a goo, and it started to evolve and began to swim and et cetera. It's a little bit more complicated than that. You understand. That's the simplified Roger version. But it started from something. You have to understand that God's word says that God created from nothing. I like to do stuff with my hands sometimes, whether it's building something or something like that. I probably got it from my dad. My dad has like a whole wood shop at his house, and he enjoys doing that kind of stuff. But it's creating something out of something. You take the wood and you form a chair, or you make a table, or you make a porch swing to sit and swing on and enjoy. And we enjoy getting those things accomplished and being done, but we've made something out of something. God took nothing, and he made something. I can't imagine a better way to start a story and to know that there's so much more in here for us to grasp than in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God took nothing, and he created something. I'm going to save the rest for next week because there's a lot more to the story. And we're going to continue to talk about the story as weeks go on and what God has done. Next week, we're going to talk about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve kind of marred the story a little bit, the Bible tells us. But the whole history is God's plan of redemption. Getting us back to that place where we can have a relationship with him. As you go throughout your week this week, think about God's story, how he began his story. In the beginning, God created. He took nothing, and he created something. And what that means for us. That God created humanity, that God loved us so much. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for creation. We thank you for the marvels that are creation and things we're only still learning about and finding out about. That you planned from the beginning all of these intricate pieces to be a part of your creation. We're still discovering species and creatures that we didn't even know existed. God, help us to be good stewards of the creation. God, help us to look at the creation and not worship the creation, but worship you for what you have done. God, help us to point others to creation, to be able to see a glimpse of you. And Father, we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.